My lecture was mainly based on a is mainly based on a paper which was first motivated by Ben's talk by Henry King about 1.5 years ago. And the true topic of my talk should be the following: a partial capitality criterion for the Kinsheriri automorphic transfer osmosis product on GL2 from GL2 plus GL3 to GL6. So before these things, capitality criterion for symmetric power of some cast form on GL2, symmetric cube, symmetric fourth power, and also capitality criterion for GL2 cross GL2 are well known. But before my paper, there was no capital criterion for the GL2 cross GL3 things. But here, the word partial means that my criterion here I present in the paper only treat for the case well the GL3 part is twist equivalent to symmetric square of something. So let me write here my partial criterion in my paper theorem. Let pi prime be a cast form, cast representation degree 2, and pi 1 is another cast form on GL2. And we assume that pi 1 is not dihedral. Then pi prime times symmetric square pi is cuspidal unless the following happens. First, pi prime is not dihedral. Adjoint pi prime, which is equivalent to the symmetric square of pi prime tensor, the inverse of central character of pi prime. Adjoint pi prime is twist equivalent to adjoint pi 1. Or the second thing happens, pi prime is dihedral and is induced from a character mu on the quadratic extension field. And the symmetric square pi prime k, which is the phase change of symmetric square of pi 1 k, which is the phase change of the symmetric square of pi 1, allows a self-twist by some character, and this condition can be easily deduced from the Mackey's criterion and his mu inverse, mu composed with theta. Well, theta is the Galois conjugation of K over F. Before I start the formal thing, I would like to announce a new result, a more general version of cuspidal criterion has been worked out by me and my advisor, Dinakar Ramakrishnan. Which says the following: if pi prime is a cusp form of GL2 and is not dihedral, And pi is a cusp form on GL3, which is not essentially self-dual, which means that it's, which is not twist equivalent to some symmetric square of some pi 1. Then pi prime times pi is cuspidal. So this recent work, or recent work. So I might mention something about this, but the main thing I explain in this lecture is this theorem. Any question? Okay, first let's begin with some background. And here, F denotes a number field. AF denotes the ring of ideals over F. And we use notation A and F, the set of automorphic representation of GLN AF. And we use A naught and F, the set of cuspidal automorphic representation of GLN AF. And here the cuspidality can be characterized by the Fourier coefficient over unipotent part. The integral of the is zero, and also it can be characterized the following. Then here, if pi is the automorphic form, then exactly one of the following happens. A, of course, pi itself is cuspidal. The second, pi is a component of a induced representation, induced GLN plus N1 plus N2, P, pi 1 tensor pi 2. Well, pi 1 is a automorphic form on GLN1, and pi 2 is automorphic form on GLN2, and P is a parabolic subgroup of GLN1 plus N2, whose Levy component is exactly GLN1 cross GLN2. So here we also write this as pi equivalent to pi 1 plus pi 2. Here is the isobaric sum. And we have the following Langlands classification, says that each automorphic form is equivalent to an isobaric sum of cusp form. So here we can write this as pi is equivalent to isobaric sum I m I pi I. Well, pi I are cuspidal cusp form on GLN I, and the degree of N I times multiplicity m I add up to the degree n. So here, mi is the multiplicity of pi I occurred in pi. And the Langlands classification says that such isobaric decomposition is unique determined. The next thing is about the class of nice L functions. Let me erase this. So here, we denote GMF be a class of nice function, L functions of degree M over F. And there are some conditions. The first, this function converges on some right half plane. And in general, we need that it is absolute convergent on real part S is greater than 1. And also, it extends to an entire function over all complex planes except for possible pole. For a possible pole at s equal to 1. And also, this function should be of finite order. The third condition is that it meets an Euler product. We can write as Ls equals to pi v Lvs. Well, LVS for almost all these, LVS can be written as the inverse of a polynomial of MPV of degree M. Here we write as degree M minus S minus 1. Well, P is some polynomial of degree M for almost all V. And also, we need the functional equation, and to each LS, that's a it is related to another L function, L dual S. And there's a functional equation related LS to L dual 1 minus S. So here, for each LS, there's a gamma factors L infinity S such that we have the following functional equation. L infinity S times LS is W times N half minus S times L infinity dual 1 minus S. L dual 1 minus S. And here W is some root number and N is called the level or an analytic conductor of this L function. And here are some examples. And of course, if L dual is the same as L, we say that L is self-dual. And here are some examples. First, Riemann zeta function and the Dirichlet L series and the Dedekind zeta function and Hecke L series. Well, L is a Hecke character. And if the Artin conjecture holds, then the Artin L series should also be a nice L function. The second example, when pi is an automorphic form on GLN, then LS pi is nice. The third example is that when pi 1 and pi 2 are two automorphic forms, then the Rankine-Seeberg L functions LS pi 1 times pi 2 is also nice. And here we say that L function LS is automorphic if only if LS is equal to LS pi for some automorphic form. Automorphic form pi over F. And here there are some formal stuff. So if pi 1 and pi 2 automorphic and they are tensor product of the local components. Here is a restricted tensor product pi 1 v and a restricted tensor product pi 2 v. Then we can define the reconcilable L functions L s pi 1 times pi 2 locally. And for each place V, such that for each place V, such that pi 1 and pi 2 are unidentified, if we write LS pi 1 V is the product J from 1 to M 1 minus alpha V J MPV minus S inverse, and LS pi 2 V equals to J from 1 to N 1 minus state V J MPV minus S or minus 1. Then we can define the local factor LS pi 1 V times pi 2 V of this kind of product pi I from 1 to M J from 1 to N 1 minus alpha VI beta VJ NPV minus S inverse. And also we can characterize the reconcilable L function by the local Langlands. By the local Langlands, the formal product pi 1 V and pi 2 V is well defined. So we can define the local components of this L function of the product of the local components as pi 1 V times pi 2 V. In fact, each pi 1 V, pi I V corresponds to a wave representation sigma I V. Then here, the local product here, pi 1 V times pi 2 V, corresponds to the tensor product sigma 1 V, tensor sigma 2 V. So here we can write the product of product LS sigma 1V tensor sigma 2V. So here the characterization of the reconcilable product L function. And also we can characterize the symmetric power L function. So let me erase this. And here, let the pi equals to tensor V pi V, and the pi V corresponds to sigma V, then the symmetric power L function of pi is defined as product of the local components, and here's symmetric m's power of sigma V. So here, some question arise. So we know that this ranking silver product L function is nice. And the question is that, is this L function automorphic? And also, we have question that, is this L function nice? And is this L function automorphic? If we assume the full Langlands functorality, the answer should be yes. But only a few cases are known. So here, let me write down the known cases. And here, if pi and pi prime are cast form on GL2, then by Gilbert Jacquet, symmetric square of pi is automorphic, and it is cuspidal if and only if pi is not dihedral. And a symmetric cube of pi is automorphic, and is cuspidal if pi is not dihedral or tetrahedral. So this is by Kim and Shahidi. And the symmetric fourth power of pi is automorphic, and it is cuspidal if and only if pi is not of solvable polyhedral type, which means that pi is not dihedral, tetrahedral, or octahedral. So this result is by Kim. And also, if pi and pi prime, let me use this, pi double prime is not 3f. So if pi and pi prime are two cast form on GL2, then by result by Dinikar-Ramakrishnan, the formal product pi times pi prime is automorphic. Also, Ramakrishnan gave out the criterion, and he said at least if not, they are not both dihedral, then it is cuspidal unless these two, one is twist equivalent to another. So this is by Ramakrishnan. And also, if pi is a cusp form on GL2 and pi double prime is a cusp form on GL3, then by Kim and Shahidi, the formal product, this is automorphic. Any question? But before my paper, there's no cuspidality things discussed before. So here, let me go to my partial criterion for the cuspidality. Here, if pi prime is cusp form on GL2, and pi one is cusp form on GL2, and we assume that pi one is not dihedral, otherwise symmetric square pi one is not cuspidal. So we should assume this. Pi one is not dihedral. Then this formal product is cuspidal unless the following two things happen. One is that pi prime is not dihedral, and adjoint pi prime is not twist equivalent to adjoint pi one. And the second thing might happen is that if pi prime is induced by character on a quadratic extension field mu, then symmetric, and we, if this is not cuspidal, we still need that the phase change of symmetric square pi 1 to k allows a self-twist by this character. And this second condition is easy to obtain because we can apply the analog of Mackey's criterion. So I won't explain in detail for this part. So I will explain this part. So my recent work here, pi is no longer required to twist equivalent to some symmetric square. And we claim that if pi prime is not dihedral, pi is not twist equivalent to some symmetric square, then this is cuspidal. And one application for my recent work is the following. It can be used to create a non-self-dual cohomological class in this cohomological group H5 gamma V, where gamma is some congruence subgroup of SL6. Any question? So this is a cusped cohomological, or there should be a cusp here. This is a cohomological class group. Yes. So right now, let me explain the idea for this theorem. The idea is basically for the Jacquesian-like stuff, for the Rankine-Seibel the order of the pole of Rankine-Seibel L function at s equal to 1, and it's well known by Jacquet and Schleicher that if pi and the pi prime are cusped, then L s pi times pi prime is entire unless pi and the pi prime delta is twist equivalent. If this happens, then they have pole at some point in the real part s equal to 1. Moreover, minus odd s equals to 1, ls pi times pi prime. This is denotes the order of the pole of this L function at s equals to 1. This is delta pi and the pi prime tilde delta, which means it's 0, which means L is holomorphic at s equals to 1. When pi is not twist equivalent to pi prime tilde, 1, if pi is twist equivalent to pi prime tilde. Also, if pi 1 is some cusp form and pi is some automorphic representation, then the order of the pole at s equal to 1 ls pi times pi 1 tilde is exactly the same as the multiplicity of pi 1 occurred in pi. And also from this we can deduce the order of the pole of L function at pi times pi tilde is exactly the square sum of the multiplicity. And here sum mi square if pi is equivalent to the algebraic sum mi pi I. So from this we can see that this number is first is at least 1. Second, if it is exactly 1, which means that this mi, this sum in fact is only one number, and pi itself should be cusped. So we claim following. We claim the following, and pi is cuspidal if and only if the Rankine-Seelberg L function LF pi times pi tilde, the order of the pole of this L function at s equal to 1 is exactly 1. So here we use this plane to prove our main theorem. In fact, we can first just write formally here. We'll assume that if pi and pi prime and pi 1 are cusp form on DL2, and we assume that pi 1 and pi are not dihedral, then first we write the sum this thing formally, pi prime times symmetric square pi 1 times pi prime tilde times symmetric square pi 1 tilde. This is exactly the same as 1 plus adjoint pi 1 times 1 plus adjoint pi 1 plus a 4 pi 1. Here, adjoint, recall that adjoint, here's adjoint pi prime. Here, we call that adjoint pi prime is equivalent to symmetric square pi prime tensor inverse, the inverse of its central character. And A4 pi 1 is exactly the same as symmetric fourth power of pi 1 tensor twist by minus square of central character of pi 1. So here we combine these two, we get this, and we combine these two, we get these three. Then expand this, we have 1 plus adjoint pi prime plus adjoint pi 1 plus adjoint pi prime times adjoint pi 1 plus A4 pi 1 plus adjoint pi 1 pi prime times a 4 pi 1. So we have this formal thing. So we can rewrite the L function as pi prime times symmetric square pi 1 times pi prime tilde times symmetric square pi 1 tilde as the following is zeta fs, and here is ls adjoint pi prime, ls adjoint pi 1, ls adjoint pi prime times adjoint pi 1, ls a4 pi prime, ls A4 pi 1 times adjoint pi. So here we know in general that automorphic L functions or Rankine-Seelberg L function does not vanish at 1. So if it has a pole, then the pole should come from it has a pole of order at least 2, then here there's a pole, there's a simple pole, so there should be another pole occurred in one of these L factors. However, we know that If pi prime and pi 1 are not dihedral, then these two L functions should be entire. And here, this function has a pole if and only if adjoint pi prime is equivalent to adjoint pi 1. So here, the only pole, possible pole, comes from LS first adjoint pi 1 times adjoint pi prime LS a power 4 pi 1 LS a power 4 a 4 pi 1 times adjoint pi prime. So here the equivalent condition is that if it has a pole of order at least 2, then one of these should have a pole at s equal to 1. Let's study what happens if one of these L functions has a pole at s equal to 1. And if this L function has a pole at s equal to 1, this means that adjoint pi 1 is equivalent to adjoint pi. And for this part, we should study a 4 pi 1, and we know that it's automorphic, and also it is cuspidal if pi 1 is not of solved polyhedral type. And it is equivalent to the following. It is equivalent to adjoint pi 1 plus chi inverse if pi 1 is tetrahedral. And here, chi is some cubic character such that the symmetric square of pi 1 is invariant, allows a self-twist under this chi. And if pi 1 is octahedral, then we have decomposition a 4 pi 1 is adjoint pi 1 times epsilon plus some dihedral representation, automorphic representation, C. So this part is dihedral. So here, from here, in either case, this L function should be entire. And also, if this has a pole at s equal to 1, then pi 1 should be either tetrahedral. When this happens, adjoint pi 1 is equivalent to adjoint pi prime. And or pi 1 is octahedral. When this happens, adjoint pi prime is equivalent to adjoint pi 1 times epsilon. So in this case, if this has a pole, then adjoint pi prime is equivalent to either adjoint pi prime or adjoint pi 1 or adjoint pi 1 tensor epsilon. So we obtain this exceptional condition here. So we finish the proof for our main field. Any question? So finally, let me explain an application for the icosahedral representation. Galois representation. A Galois representation, rho of G F rho is called modular if its L function LS rho is automorphic. which means that there is a, so if rho is an n-dimensional representation, then rho is modular if there is a cast form on GLN pi, such that Ls rho equals to Ls pi. And here, if we assume the full Artin conjecture, strong Artin conjecture, we can find the following factorality. And here, if rho, here, the direct product of two representations corresponds to the isobaric sum of the direct sum of Galois representation corresponds to algebraic sum of automorphic representation, and direct tensor product of two Galois representations should correspond to the Rankine-Seehofer product of two automorphic representations. And also, symmetric m-th power of the Galois representation should correspond to the symmetric m-th power of automorphic representation. But in general, we don't know whether they are automorphic. And also, a contragradient corresponds to contragradient. So by this functorality, we should know that we should deduce that irreducible should correspond to cuspidal. So irreducibility should correspond to cuspidality. Unfortunately, we don't know the, we only know the Artin conjecture for solvable Galois extension. And a two Galois irreducible two-dimensional Galois representation are dihedral, tetrahedral, octahedral, or icosahedral. And for the first three cases, which is also called the of solvable polyhedral types, the L function is automorphic, so the representation is modular. But for the icosahedral representation, in general, we don't know whether it's modular, but there are some examples, and modular icosahedral representation now some example. The first example was given by Bueller, and then and some other people, including Taylor, found some other case, odd modular icosahedral representations, and this case are over Q. And here we introduce another concept, strongly modular. And we say that an icosahedral representation, Galois icosahedral Galois representation, rho is called strongly modular. If rho and rho tau are modular, and here rho tau is a Galois conjugate of rho, and here tau is some Galois conjugation, because rho should be rational over some number field. And this tau is some Galois conjugation of this field, which sending root 5 to minus root 5. So here, the strong modulus is, this condition is stronger than the modular. But fortunately, all known cases are strongly modular. So here, all known cases are strongly modular. So here, but because of the specialness of this representation, one may ask whether the symmetric power is modular. So this question is answered by King for the strongly modular representation. So here, if rho is strongly modular, hexahedral Galois representation then symmetric power m's power of rho is modular for all m. And here, the reason depends on the structure theory of hexahedral representation. And the reason is the following. Symmetric m's power rho can be written as a dual sum of the twist of the following. So here is the list of irreducible things. First, rho and rho tau. Second, symmetric square rho and a symmetric square rho tau. Third, symmetric cube rho, which is twist equivalent to symmetric cube rho tau. Fourth, symmetric fourth power of rho is twist equivalent to symmetric fourth power of rho tau. Fifth, rho tensor rho tau and F. Symmetric fifth power of rho, which is twist equivalent to symmetric fifth power of rho tau, which is twist equivalent to rho tau tensor symmetric square of rho, which is twist equivalent to rho tensor symmetric square rho tau. So here, symmetric m's power of rho can be written as a direct sum of the twist of the following irreducible representation. And we also claim as C that any two from this list are not twist equivalent. So to prove the modularity for symmetric m's power of rho, it suffices to prove the modularity for this kind of thing. So by the assumption, rho and rho tau are automatically modular. And by the Gilbert JK, symmetric square rho, symmetric rho, square rho tau are modular. And by the Kim Shakidi, symmetric cube rho is also modular. And by Kim, symmetric fourth power of rho is modular. By Ramakrishnan's result, rho tensor rho tau is also modular. And here, applying the Kim Shakidi for the modularity for GL2 across GL3, rho tau times symmetric square of rho is also modular. So here, modularity is not a problem. So one may ask, how does this correspondence behave in this case? And here, we want to see by this factorality, these are all irreducible, so they should correspond to cuspidal automorphic representations. In fact, let me write here. Here, let me write this thing here and explain why each one is cuspidal. And here, that's rho tau, symmetric square rho, symmetric square rho tau, symmetric cube rho, which is twist equivalent to symmetric cube rho tau, symmetric fourth power of rho, rho tensor rho tau, and here is symmetric fifth power of rho, which is twist equivalent to rho tau, tensor symmetric square of rho. And these two are cuspidal. That's not a problem. And symmetric square rho is cuspidal because rho is not dihedral. And symmetric square of rho tau is also cuspidal. And symmetric cube rho is cuspidal because rho is not dihedral or tetrahedral. Symmetric fourth power of rho is cuspidal because rho is not of solvable polyhedral type. And the rho tensor rho tau is cuspidal. We need to apply the Ramakrishnan's criterion for GL2 cross cuspidality for GL2 cross GL2. And here, rho is not twist equivalent to rho tau. And rho and rho tau are not dihedral. So rho tensor rho tau should be cuspidal. And here, the last case, this is cuspidal. To see this, we need to apply our theorem. And here, we apply the first condition. So pi, rho tau is not dihedral. And here, if it is not cuspidal, we still need that adjoint rho tau should be twist equivalent to adjoint rho. So here, if rho tau times symmetric square rho is not cuspidal, then adjoint rho tau should be twist equivalent to adjoint rho. And here, adjoint rho tau is a twist of symmetric square rho tau. Adjoint rho is a twist of symmetric square of rho. And we have said by the structure theory before that symmetric square of rho and symmetric square of rho tau are not twist equivalent. So this cannot happen. So applying my theorem, we claim that this is also cuspidal. So we complete the full picture for the icosahedral representation. Okay, so much for my talk.